Hello, welcome back to Ask a Monk. Today I will be answering the question as to what we should do for those people who are suffering from addiction and as a result might turn away from the meditation practice or might not be able to immediately step into the meditation practice. The suggestion is that possibly for some people meditation isn't the answer or isn't the immediate answer. That rather such people should undertake traditional therapy or rehab or so on before taking on the meditation. Now, I think that it's important to understand that there are answers besides the meditation practice. The meditation practice isn't the only thing that's necessary. And this is why the Buddha recommended morality as well, because ideally we do away with these states. Ideally we give them up when we start to practice meditation. And he himself said, or you know, made it quite clear in different ways, that the meditation relies on morality. And without morality it's not truly going to succeed. Now the problem with saying that one should avoid meditation or should not consider meditation is that it ignores the fact that meditation should indeed be a part, or is a part of learning to keep morality. That even for people who can't keep basic morality, who are stuck in addiction and have you know, physical and mental addictions to substances or to the hormones in the body, as it was mentioned about masturbation in the quest. The person who asked the question was mentioning that, and so on. There is that side, but the meditation, the mental side, is very much a part of the problem, and is thus very important to address. Now, when we practice meditation, we have to keep in mind the physical side, and we have to understand that our state of being is going to affect our meditation, is going to really set the tone of our meditation practice. So, you know, we need to eat the right food, we need to look after our bodies and you know, our health in terms of medicine and so on. We have to be, you know, find a suitable place to live and so on, along with the many other aspects of our practice that we have to keep in mind. So there's no reason not to practice meditation, but especially for people who are suffering from severe forms of addiction, extreme forms of addiction, there are going to be many other things that they'll have to keep in mind. The Buddha gave a talk on all of the many ways to do away with the problems in the mind. For instance, we have to guard our senses, so we shouldn't just look around, you know, stare at things and watch engage in the pleasures of the sense. We should restrain ourselves in terms of food, in terms of entertainment, and so on. We should guard our faculties so that we are mindful and we're able to keep track of our state of mind and of the world around us, so to not get caught up in entertainment and pleasure. Now, I've given talks on this before, the various parts of the practice. So that certainly is true, but the concern as to whether people who take up the meditation practice and aren't capable, that they might therefore turn away from the practice and give it up, it seems a little bit specious. That the truth of the matter is, and what we see, is that there are reasons why they give up, and to an extent we can mitigate these. It's often because there's improper instruction. It's often because there isn't the comprehensive practice. It's often because of the surroundings. So, you know, every person's position, every person's situation is different. What's important is how we address this issue of people, you know, giving up the practice and leaving it behind. The first thing we should say is that just because a person gives up the practice doesn't mean they haven't gained anything. So a person might begin to practice meditation and get to a certain level or get to a certain point and then give it up or put it aside. Now, we shouldn't therefore be discouraged or think that this person is useless or that they have no potential in the meditation practice. It can be that after some time they'll come back to it. And what we gain, the things that we do, especially things that affect our state of mind, have a profound effect on our psyche, and they stay deeply ingrained in our memory. Meditation is something that it's very difficult to forget, and people can always come back to it. Just learning the basics, the technique of meditation, without even practicing it, can be a great thing, because in times of need, it often comes back, and people do take up the practice in earnest. So that, I think that's the first point that I would make. The second one is that environment plays a great role in addiction recovery. So the physical aspects of addiction are obvious, and environment isn't going to get rid of those. No matter where you are, you still have the hormones coming up, you still have the chemical reaction, the chemical interactions, and so on, the physical craving. But at least half of the problem, actually much more of the problem, is the mental side. And that you can influence by your environment, by the people you surround yourself with, by the interactions you have, by the situations that you get yourself into. I mean, obviously, if all of your friends are addicted as well, you know, all of your friends go out to bars and drinking or do drugs or so on, or if there's, you know, there's this hypersexuality in the world around you, then, you know, watching television or you know, going to the mall, going to the beach and so on, and seeing the objects of your desire, then obviously it's going to be much more difficult for you to overcome the states. Now, this is where meditation can excel, because a meditation center is pretty much the ideal environment. You're surrounded by people who are, you know, interested in meditation, who are trying to purify their own minds, who are supportive, who are talking about the same things and are encouraging each other in the same things. You have people talking about the meditation practice and teaching the meditation practice. You have a really supportive environment, and that's really important. That makes a real difference. I think the people who turn away most often are those people who have never had that environment or who have not had it on a long-term basis. So people will go to a retreat for 10 days, and all of the people come together for 10 days, but no one's living there, no one's staying there. So there isn't the community feeling. You don't feel like you're really living in this place, in this environment. It's quite different when you have a monastery that you go to and there are people staying there and living there, and you can live for a month or a year and undertake the practice as a lifestyle. That's a real great support. And you'll see that in addiction therapy as well, they advise the same thing, that it should be residential. So the meditation, in that sense, provides an excellent form of addiction therapy, just by the basic environment. Another thing is in regards to the physical addiction itself, and I've said this, I've talked about this before, that physical addiction is one thing, but part of our practice is to not be free from the physical addiction, but to rise above it, to see that it's only a physical reaction. The cravings that occur in the mind are actually not cravings, they're just physical processes. So someone who's addicted to nicotine, for example, or someone who's addicted to you know, the sexual hormones, this is only the physical side. It's something that arises and ceases. It's actually neutral. It's only our deeply ingrained reactions to the physical that causes the problem. So if we can simply see the feelings, the sensations for what they are, the sensation of hormones arising, whatever the chemical interactions of the hormones or of nicotine and the cravings in the brain and so on, then they'll cease to have any power over us. This is why I said actually the physical is not the real problem. But And so for many people, it's actually the lack of instruction. I know there are often people will go to a meditation center and will not get proper instruction for whatever reason. Sometimes it's because they don't listen. And this comes back to the idea that many of people have pointed out already, that you can't help everyone. So in the end, it is true that, and it's very much worth bearing in mind, that we should never be frustrated when the people around us don't want to meditate. We should take it upon ourselves to meditate. And that will have an effect on our friends and family and so on. But in the end, it's up to the individual. And there's so many people in the world who won't ever meditate, not in this life. Which is why I said, you know, give people what you can and help people as you can, and don't expect too much. But on the other hand, if we do give, and if we are clear, and if we understand correctly what it is that, you know, what is the meditation and how should one practice meditation? I've never really had a problem. I've never found anyone who didn't gain benefit from the practice. You know, you have to give up at a certain point and say that's all the person could gain, and that's enough for them, and not expect them or get frustrated when they don't get more or when they don't take it more seriously. But, you know, you have to, there has to be someone there to guide them and to instruct them. So I think it's important that we study and that we get clear in our own minds about the practice, and try our best to give people the information. What they do with that information is up to them, and I would submit that even just giving them the information, as I said, is a great thing. And I would never say to someone that, you know, you shouldn't meditate, you should do something else first. I would say there are many other things that you could do with the meditation, complementing the meditation. But meditation should be essential and eventually becomes really the only thing that you need once you understand and get it and experience the benefits and the results of the meditation. Then your mind will incline towards it, and you'll find that it more and more becomes your answer to just about every problem that you have. So, there's an answer to this question. That's been another episode of Ask a Monk. Thank you all for tuning in, and hope to see you on the forum, submitting your own questions and your own answers. I'd like to thank everyone for submitting answers. It certainly makes my job easier to have people who have, you know, in this way have studied the meditation. It's not my teaching, but studied, you know, the Buddha's teaching and this tradition, interpretation of the Buddha's teaching, this tradition based on the Buddha's teaching, and are able to use that to help others. It's great to see, and I'd encourage you to do that, not only here, but also you know, in your own family, in your own town, in your own area. So, again, thanks for tuning in. All the best.